Hi, it's Leah here. Couple of quick things before we start our episode. I am actually going to be out of the episode this week. I am a working actor and I'm currently doing a working actor project. Anyway, I'm working on a project, so I'm going to be out. But instead of my dulcet tones this week, you are going to get to experience the vocal stylings of a very special guest who happens to be a good friend of mine and Aubrey's from college. And this week we are going to be talking about the movie It's Pat, and in the coming weeks, we are going to be doing My Hero Academia. I know there are a lot of people that are big fans of this show, so that's something we wanted to do. And it is also our another blind recommendation and our first anime. So Aubrey and I are going into this total noobs, and I'm really excited about it. I've heard a lot of really good things about it. So for those of you that are big fans, please tune in next week to our My Hero Academia episode and see what we have to say about that. Also, we're going to be doing some horror. I can never say the word horror, I swear. We're going to be doing some horror episodes in the near future because of Halloween. We also recently received an email recommending the TV show Supernatural, which I am super, no pun intended, excited about talking about because it is, you know, bar none, my favorite show. I have very special personal connections to that show, so I'm really excited about talking about it. I'm excited to talk about horror movies and horror TV shows. So if you happen to have any really good recommendations for horror movies that we should watch, scary movies, spooky movies, some spoopy stuff for Halloween, please send it our way because I'm so excited for the coming months. So yeah, we've got a lot of really good stuff coming in the next few weeks. Tune in next week for My Hero Academia, and let's get on with the show. I will see you guys next week. Bye!
Have you ever had someone recommend something to you?
Have you ever asked for a recommendation for something?
Have you ever taken a recommendation you regretted?
Do you have something you want to recommend?
Welcome to
Recommended to Me by a Friend, where we are taking recommendations and seeing how well they work with our lives.
We're on a mission to improve our time spent in all things and are looking to expand our horizons in arenas such as film and TV,
books,
food,
health and beauty,
music,
and adventure.
Come and see what happens when two artistics are exiled during a global pandemic and invite willing listeners to interfere with their lives. I'm Aubrey.
And I'm Leah. So bring on your recommendations!
Do it.
She'll kill you.
If there's time.
Do we get it?
Yeah.
Okay, so basically, I was under the impression that Braveheart and Highlander were the same movie, because I did not understand that, okay, obviously they're different movies, but I don't think I understood the full plot. I was like, Scottish uprising, some kind of war, magical sword, and maybe a dragon.
Sounds like a great children's book.
I feel like it's either going to be a really good kid's book or a really good adult's book, but
I'm in for either.
As it turns out, the movie itself is not. It's two different movies.
Yes, it is.
And I know for a fact that, despite what one of my coworkers kept trying to say, I'm not thinking of Beowulf.
No.
Even at all. Okay. Okay, so today is a very special episode of Recommended to Me by a Friend. Our great and incredible Leah is, as a working actress, she is busy this weekend, so I got to drive into sunny Florida to catch up with an old friend of mine. And Bennett?
How goes it, everybody?
This is Esquire John Bennett Esquire.
After what felt like 1,300 years. Yes, indeed.
So, I know of some of you, if we have listeners, which I'd be lucky to count, but if we have listeners, probably wondering what makes you, as a lawyer, qualified to talk about these movies?
There's over 600 sitting in my living room.
I was gonna go with, what makes any of us qualified to talk about these movies?
Well, clearly, you have a trademarked podcast name, so, done.
Okay. Yay! It took some doing, that's why our Twitter and email and all the other things, like, everything's just slightly different, because those are the names that were available. Like, our Twitter is at recommended to us. Our email is recommended_friend. But yeah. And hey, we're still taking recommendations, which actually brings us... Well, before we get into that, let's kind of go over just a little bit. My buddy Bennett here, he and I met. We met in undergrad.
Yep.
Yeah. Actually, the same school that Leah and I met at as well. Of mm-hmm. course, Bennett had to graduate and get his big fancy law degree, and so he couldn't stick around for the Leah times, which I think I'm going to trademark. Like, that's the Leah times. But yeah. But we have put on a few public relations, like fundraising events and things like that.
Yeah. We did some fundraisers and some good events in undergrad. Had a good time, so.
Good time. We did have, I remember back in the infancy of podcasting, I mean, it's true infancy, we debated about having a podcast. And do you remember what the podcast, what the premise was? This would have been during the lunches.
Yes.
And?
Yeah.
It was us and another person, and the other person was billed as the goody-goody. You were the voice of reason, and I was the devil's handmaiden. And we would chit-chat about a great many things.
And without going into too much detail, my, how those roles did not stay the same.
Woohoo! That is fair accuracy, man. Okay, but there was a thing that we used to do. In fact, you actually got me involved in swing dancing.
Yes, I did.
And swing dancing teachers always needed a quote-unquote lovely assistant, and when none was found, that's where I came in.
Yeah, you would do.
Yeah, that's... Leah and I have made that joke before about my IMDb page should read, when an actress couldn't be found, Aubrey stepped in. But yeah, and so we do a lot of stuff together, and so we ended up having a kind of fun way to introduce ourselves that got patented during one of the fundraisers that we did. We're on stage.
Yeah.
And so, kind of updated version of that. I'm Aubrey.
And I'm Bennett.
And we're
not dating.
Which became sort of our calling card. Oh yeah, I'm Aubrey, I'm Bennett. Not dating.
Yes, not dating.
But okay, so, alright, so today, I called you last week and I said, hey, Leah's not going to be available, and I would very much like a co-host for this episode, and I called you.
Yeah.
Yeah, and today's a very special episode because it is our first recommendation from a fan, from somebody that wrote in. David, friend of the show, David. Sent us a message as our very, very first recommendation, and he recommended the 1994 classic question mark.
No question mark.
1994 movie, It's Pat, colon, the movie. So, without going into details, just your own personal thing, how glad are you that you took that call from me?
I've never been so sad that I actually charged my phone. Usually when it gets down to like the 25%, I'm like, oh no, it needs to be charged right now. And I did that whenever you called. And I really wish I just let it die.
Ordinarily, I would call you out for being unchivalrous or just kind of a dick. But here's the thing. I get it. Let's...
By the way, that's a pretty funny play on words considering the movie we just watched.
Yes, let's get into it. Before we do, though, I do want to point out, we are still taking any and all recommendations, and I'm very, very glad David, friend of the show, has recommended this because it has opened the door to some lovely conversation. So let's dive in.
Let us.
So a couple of stats, runtime of 117 minutes. We did feel that.
Yes, every second.
Top three billing. You have Julia Sweeney, Dave Foley, and the late, great Charles Rocket. Now, normally I try to keep billing. I try to keep it down. I know the last time I said this with Can't Hardly Wait, I believe it was six people, but that's a really big ensemble. So I'm going to throw in the fourth one here because I feel like I can't not mention her. Kathy Griffin, who we found out way into the movie, plays...
Kathy Griffin.
Kathy Griffin. She plays herself.
She was initially, whenever she met you know, Pat, she was referred to as Kathy, and I kind of furrowed my eyebrow a bit and was like, oh, I guess, you know, sometimes that happens, you have your same first name, but, then like you said, the way's into the movie, she's Kathy Griffin.
When we do the screenings of anything, and so far we've only been able to do TV and movies, there's a rule, you know, we have notes and we can't talk to each other. And I told Bennett right away, I was like, hey, listen, when we start, we can't talk to each other. It's not like a discussion thing. But I did break it. It says Kathy Griffin. And I went, is she Kathy Griffin? In my mind, I was like, did that bitch say Kathy Griffin? Like, what just happened? But okay. So, It's Pat is based off an SNL sketch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's... This is where I really think that they kind of made a misstep. Not making it originally. Because I think that the concept of this character and the running joke kind of works for a couple-minute segment sporadically throughout a show.
Exactly.
But when you stretch it out and try to just use that same joke, and I lost count somewhere at about the 25 to 30 mark of the number of times that they kind of made the same joke in a
different
way.
Within the first half hour.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it doesn't feel like it works for a long run movie.
That is exactly, it's a very interesting concept for like a 2 to 3 minute sketch, especially on live TV. And keep in mind, of course, this concept itself came about in, like, the early 90s, possibly late 80s, but I believe no sooner than early 90s. The movie itself, 1994, is a very of-its-time film. And the basic concept is this. Pat is... We don't know. He or she is neither feminine nor masculine. The clothing is very... I don't know how to explain it, just sort of...
Androgynous.
Androgynous, that's the word.
It's kind of David Bowie-esque kind of thing.
Not glam.
Yeah. And weirdly enough, when I Googled, because I wanted to know, I was familiar with the sketch, and I wanted to kind of get a definition for the word androgynous, and when I Googled it, David Bowie, Boy George, and Lady Gaga popped up in, like, the celebs. And I guess because Lady Gaga at one point, I think at the VMAs one year, she actually did a sketch where she was presenting herself as a man, playing a different character. And it was strange, because she was actually a pretty convincing guy. And even though she admittedly is a very beautiful woman and a very talented songstress, but it was cool to be able to see her do that other character. But that wasn't the snap person I would think of.
Little into Lady Gaga?
Not since this morning.
Okay, alright. Okay. Things have changed. Alright, so... The gag is pretty simple. Is Pat a man or a woman? They'll constantly do things like, oh, you know, yeah, I need feminine napkins, and then Pat pulls up, like, a floral print napkin, you know? I thought they were stretching with, like, I need lubricant, and it's, like, eye drops.
For my eyes.
Yeah. The deodorant was pretty good. Pat says, I need protection against underarm wetness. That works. I also liked how the deodorant Pat picks up is Secret.
Yeah.
Little things work.
There were a couple of kind of really clever moments in the movie that I thought. I thought that when they started Pat out working as a male person, I think that kind of was maybe an unintended joke, but it might have been a little double entendre that they were doing there with male.
There is one of my notes, let's see, U.S. Postal disgruntled ? But I did like the part where, in the beginning, Pat is getting fired from working at the Postal Service, or with the Postal Service, and Pat's boss, as he's explaining that Pat is getting fired, is putting on, like, some kind of, like, Kevlar.
Yeah.
It's like, you're feeling a little disgruntled.
You might go postal, as it were. I wasn't in the movie, but that was what was in the back of my head.
To be honest, yeah, that's probably right in the same vein.
For those of you new kids who don't, you know, what mail is, there was a time where people that got fired from the post office would often do bad things to their employers on the way out. So that was kind of the joke at the time, I think.
I thought you were going to say, for those of you who don't know what mail was, it's actual pieces of paper that had to be physically delivered by other people, And those people would just friggin' snap sometimes.
That's pretty much, yeah.
It was a big thing in the 90s. I remember that was a deal on, I think, was it the turtle from Rocko's Modern Life?
Filbert.
Filbert was working at this, I think it was that, but yeah, he's working in the postal service, and then it cuts to him being, like, on the subway, talking about it's really crowded, and he says, I've been feeling a little disgruntled, and everybody clears out. But yeah, that was a constant joke in the 90s. I remember being aware of it when I was very little, and so, but you know, I never really found out, nor do I really want to, although I'm probably gonna Google it later, find out what the big catalyst of that was. I have problems. Okay, now, you can't talk about It's Pat the movie, or It's Pat the sketch, without bringing up Chris. Chris is Pat's love interest, played by, well, no, I don't want to say it, because, well, okay, it's not that big of a secret. Pat is played by, obviously, Julia Sweeney. Kids in the Halls, Dave Foley, plays Chris.
Or, some of you would know him as Flick from A Bug's Life.
Really?
Really.
Did not know that.
Wikipedia. Love you.
And then you get, like, the other Bug's Life, which is Woody Allen as ants, and you just feel weird.
Yeah.
Yeah. But okay, so Flick. Huh, didn't know that. All right, Dave Foley, I can't find something Dave Foley's in that I'm not, like, that. Like, he always delivers, even on something that I didn't care. I'm not going to say this was bad, I'm going to say that I didn't care for it. But, that being said, Dave Foley, Julia Sweeney, honestly, and especially Charles Rocket, they really give it their all.
They kind of had to, yeah. I think, because I will say it, this movie was bad.
Okay.
It,
Bennett did not care for this film. I did not care for this film. But we'll get there. We'll get there. Okay, so, all right.
But they, in all honesty, like, everybody who was in this cast, actually, I think, with what they were working with, I think they all did a phenomenal job.
You get introduced to a band called Ween, which is a real band. I didn't know that.
I had no idea either.
Here's what tipped me off. Near the end, they're having a conversation with Pat. And it's that thing where you get people that are performers but not actors. It's that they know how to project, but they don't know how to emote for whatever reason. And I was like, these people must be a real band because they don't know how to have a dialogue or, you know, but they don't know how to do that on camera. Which, you know, whatever, they don't need to. But okay, so Chris. Now, Chris is a part, again, originated from SNL, which, kids, Saturday Night Live, which I have no idea how young our audience is.
No idea.
It's kind of all over the place, but I'll tell you about that later. Anyway, the point is,
like this film.
Chris was originally played by Dana Carvey.
Really?
Yes. But when offered the role for the movie, weirdly enough, Dana Carvey opted not to appear in the film.
Wise move.
Wise move. Which actually brought up something interesting for me, because a lot of people are probably already going to know this, but anybody that's born, you know, past the Ewok line is definitely not going to understand this. There are several movies that are based off SNL sketches. The obvious ones, of course, Wayne's World 1 and 2, phenomenal. They are great movies, really have withstood the test of time.
I also think that Coneheads
is on my list.
Another really good one that started as an SNL skit, and I think they were able to kind of parlay it into an actual thing that felt like a movie.
Oh yeah, I watched Coneheads, had no idea that it was a sketch, because again, I was very, very little.
Yeah.
Now, Superstar, that's another one.
Mm-hmm.
The Ladies' Man.
Yes, it was another one.
Night at the Roxbury.
And I also feel like it's not a direct, like, transfiguration of a skit, but I feel like Chris Farley took his overall comedy style that he did in a lot of SNL sketches and put that in, like, Tommy Boy and Black Sheep.
Uh-huh.
So it wasn't a direct, you know, port to movie per se, but it kind of was the same deal, but in a different direction.
Well, yeah, he could. He's a fixer. I mean, there's certain things and projects you just know going into it, maybe it's like, this is not going to be great, but you see who's attached to it, and you're like, this person being attached to it, you can tell is gonna amp it up, it's going to be better.
Yeah, and him and David Spade together, just
yeah,
perfect 1-2 punch.
Unfortunately, not in this film. Yeah.
It was other types of punches that it felt like.
But yeah, so based off the SNL sketch, Dana Carvey was originally Chris. Now let's talk a little bit about Chris and Pat. The idea is, like, they get engaged in the film.
Yeah.
And one of the jokes is they both propose at the same time, you know, and that plays well. Just little things like that. Everyone comes to their engagement party.
Chris is also an androgynous character, to make that clear, because that's kind of the funny dynamic between the two of, well... Funny.
Yeah. All right, I'll say this, though. I don't find Chris to be as androgynous as Pat.
And here was one weird thing that I noticed. Like, Chris, the character, is obviously played by a male actor.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Julie Sweeney is the one who plays Pat, who is a female actor. But the Pat character, when put next to the Chris character, it seems like Pat is a little more masculine and Chris is a little more feminine. Like, even their voices and hair. It was kind of weird.
I will say, hardly any time at all, 2% or less, did I buy Chris as a female. Because of the way that Chris is dressed. Again, Chris has short hair, but it's not like...
long and flowy.
Well, no, I mean, by short, I mean it's not like buzzed. It's not a pixie cut, which... I think we'd find more in today's more, you know, today's style with androgyny. You would probably associate that with a pixie cut versus like above the shoulder bob with bangs.
Yeah.
Pat, on the other hand, has a close sort of afro. But yeah, little things. Chris is dressed in sort of loose, flowy things that, especially for the 90s, come off as more feminine.
Yeah. Like almost a relaxed pantsuit kind of thing.
Like a flowy kind of deal. You got... you know, nothing that would outline a figure. I think what they're trying to go for is, like, maybe it's feminine, or maybe it's, like, some kind of, like, hippy-dippy dude.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you what really... it was the haircut and the necklaces. He had this, like... Chris would always wear these, like, long, like, ropes of beads or something. And for that reason, I just couldn't buy Chris as a male. Now, Pat, on the other hand, constantly... It could go either way. But I think, again, that comes from the fact that Pat... is a character invented before Chris.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, especially something on live TV, especially something that's going to be reoccurring, they are going to kind of, like, view that from all the angles.
Yeah.
So you have the arrow shirts and the tan pants. And they're cut, you know, tucked in shirt with a belt, just simple black shoes, and the big thick glasses.
Yeah.
So... one thing that our recommendee, David, who we love you despite this, please do not get discouraged from recommending more things. But one thing that he pointed out was he wanted to know what we thought, especially in today's climate, with just everything going on, gender equality, gender definition is really, because we do have a lot of people that prefer to be... you know, like, I know people that were born genetically female they identify as male. Uh-huh. I know somebody that's in the process of transitioning.
Yeah.
You know, and it's this huge debate what's going on, just a lot of things. I don't feel like we're qualified to get into all of that. What I know is, you know, it's different strokes, different folks, whatever. That's, you know, whatever you want to do, that's your deal, you know. Don't be a dick about it, and I'm going to support you. Yay.
Good pun, by the way.
Oh, gosh. Okay.
Can be or not be, whichever one you want.
I was about to say don't be a douche, but... yeah, okay, I'm going to stick with that. Yeah. Okay. All right. But my point is, this is a movie that some would argue would never be made. Now, here's the thing. I argue it would be made, but it wouldn't be a comedy.
No, I... And there's been a lot of that going around with, you know, would this film be made today? And even, mm-hmm. like, some things that have been, like, Gone with the Wind is now being presented with, like, a disclaimer that says, you know, this movie's a product of the time and things like that. And there's other things, like, with books and things, that, for other reasons, obviously. But I think you're on the right track. Like, if they made a movie like this with a, you know, androgynous character, I don't think it would be... making light or comedy of their status. It would kind of be more along the veins of something like Boys Don't Cry, you know, something like that.
Yes. Okay. And therein lies the big difference. 5 minutes is hysterical. An hour and 17 minutes is... gets a little trying. 2 hours plus is not a comedy.
No.
2 hours plus is going to be a dark, you know somebody, but you don't know who is going to wind up crying in the shower. It's not good. It's not a good... cutting that out. But the point is... All right. So yeah, no, I understand that. So, just some notes. Any overall... well, actually, no, I want to ask you. What do you think is the sexual definition of Pat?
Annoying.
That's one of my notes. Okay.
I have written down, underlined twice with an exclamation point, Pat character equals annoying.
Read my note. The one that...
Man or woman, Pat's a dick. Yeah, Here was one thing that I think anything that the movie was trying to do, it mm-hmm. could not get through this. The character of Pat, instead of in those 5 minute segments coming off as kind of a naivety, kind of an unknown, I think throughout this movie you get to know that Pat character, and it's just not a character that you want to feel for or identify with. Or even like towards the end where, you know, spoiler alert, they have a moment of enlightenment where Pat realizes he does want to be with
Pat
Chris.
Pat wants to be with Chris.
Yeah, Pat wants to be with Chris. And you want to kind of root for the happy ending. And I found myself like, I'm just glad this is over because I'm not rooting for this character.
I found myself thinking, Chris can do better. Chris can do so much better.
Yeah, I mean, Pat had, what, something like 37 jobs throughout the course of the movie, counting the ones they talked about.
Pat is inherently selfish and to a crazy degree. Narcissistic to a crazy degree. But it would have played better if they were more naive. Because then I feel like people would have been intrigued to the sense like, I like hanging out with you. You're a nice person. But I need to know, like, I want to know so this way I can kind of, like, get to know you better. Can I fix you up with somebody? Maybe there's something between us. Maybe, like, I don't want to see something embarrassing, you know, something. Maybe we have, like, a gender in common or what have you. There's all sorts of things. But yeah, if Pat was a likable character, that would be different.
Yeah.
But I can't imagine anybody being intrigued, especially to the point of, what's his name? The guy... Charles Rocket's character.
Kyle.
Okay. Yeah. I can't imagine anybody being obsessed to the level Kyle is with somebody as unlikable. I feel like you'd be like, I wonder, and then you talk to Pat and you're like, I don't want this person, I don't care enough.
Yeah. So. And the problem with the Kyle character, and to give you some context, Kyle is the across-the-way neighbor mm-hmm. from Pat, who, once they meet, Kyle, for lack of a better term, becomes really obsessed with Pat, both finding out, you know, man or a woman, and in a really creepy, I want to actually be with you way is. And I think that kind of took away from one of those two aspects. Like, if you wanted to do it to where I need to find out mm-hmm. the gender of this Pat character, or I don't care, I just want to be with them because I like them, you could go one of those two avenues. And I think that for comedy purposes, I think the sleuth part would have worked if it wasn't like traveling right alongside this, I want to be with you, because you're not rooting for Kyle to get with Pat because, as you said, Pat's not a likable character.
Pat is unlikable.
And gross.
And really gross. Oh my gosh, like the spits and just all sorts of things. They're little things that I do remember because I, you know, I have seen this. I watched this when I was very, very little, and I remember a couple of things. I remember the very end where Pat is lowered down onto the stage where Ween is playing, and Pat's pants have ripped, and so the genitalia is exposed to everybody except for Kyle. I remember that, and I also remember the diary where he's like, Kyle's trying to get into Pat's diary.
Yep.
And the only clue he's given is that the password is in the dictionary.
And it's the last word.
And the thing is, that's a stupid plot device. And it wouldn't have been if it had been, like, from the beginning and slowly ticks down. That's a middle segment that starts in the middle and then ends in the middle, and it has no... It has nowhere to go.
Yeah.
But every time it's like, access denied, that little laugh, I remember that.
As soon as he typed in A and we heard that, you know, like you said, the access denied, and then that laugh, I was like, how many times are we going to have to hear this? And the movie didn't disappoint. We got to hear it a bunch. But this film, I think one of the problems that you mentioned, plot, it tried to do too many things to make this movie work. Because it tried, you know, some gross humor with the spittle in a couple of moments. And then there's that random slapstick fall down the stairs.
And and then, I hurt you, I crushed my nuts! And he pulls out these oversized, what are they, walnuts?
Like walnuts. Which would have been, you know, a funny gag, but it was just like, okay, what is this character? Is it awkward? Is it slapstick? Is it gross? Like, you can't do all three well.
Yeah.
And, like, to harken back to Chris Farley, he was great at, you know, moments of awkwardness, but his physical comedy was just so fantastic. And they tried, I think, to kind of pepper that in, but it never cohesed together. It didn't feel...
It was too many hats on a hat.
Yeah. On a head, you mean?
Wherever.
Okay, you stack the hats, whatever.
But yeah, so, okay, so... A couple of things, let's see. Okay, so... Going with David's question about how this would be different, one scene struck out really hard to me that just honestly, it stuck out in a really creepy way, and that is, after Pat's big, for lack of a better word, television debut, Pat ends up at Kyle's. And Kyle is like, he's trying to seduce Pat. Now what I was worried was that he was gonna like, mick him, like he was gonna like, drug him. Because Kyle's like, hey, we should have champagne, and he's like super, super close, and he's all feely, and all I could think is, that scene would never get filmed in today's, like, there would be somebody who would write a draft of that and take it, and then the meeting would go, we're gonna burn this, we're gonna bury the ashes, we're gonna salt the earth, and we're gonna pretend we never had this conversation. Because even the stigma of that kind of situation, whew.
Yeah, in 2020, it's difficult to get, you know, Baby It's Cold Outside played on the radio, and I do not think that we're going to see that kind of, even in a supposedly comedic setting, I don't think we're going to see very many more of those in films.
Now, to their credit, the makers of Pat, Kyle does not drug Pat.
I don't know if we should give them credit for that, because you're not supposed to do that, Cosby.
Wow! Okay, yeah, so, okay. But the point is, yeah, you're definitely, like, it shouldn't be like, should I drug somebody? Should I not? If you're having that conversation...
That's not a good moral conundrum to have.
No, it should always be, like, you know, there's certain things that you should always know. Don't drug people, don't shake the baby, and, like, I feel like there's a third, like, always, like, I don't know.
Don't randomly stab people in the face with a sawed-off pool stick.
Well, not randomly, duh. Okay, the point is...
So with purpose, it's fine.
I'm just saying, follow through. That's always been my problem.
Hashtag Joker, okay. We're gonna have tryouts.
I've been to easier and more difficult job interviews. And before you ask, I did not get either job. But yeah, the seduction scene, that would never have been even a conversation. Like, should we film it? That would not have worked.
No. And it was very odd that this clearly, as it was introduced, the character of Kyle, you know, he's married, he's got a wife, so he was presented to us immediately, like, straight. Like, he's married to a woman.
Yeah, heterosexual.
Heterosexual, and then all of a sudden he's, you know, obsessed. He's even used the words, like, I'm attractive and repulsion. It's very strange, I'm obsessed. And he's really going after this character of Pat, who's really androgynous. It didn't feel like it worked, because they tried to do too much.
I'll tell you what, the whole Kyle conundrum kind of played off like, you've heard about people getting infatuation confused with obsession. And I think that's what they kind of were going for. It's almost like it was explained by somebody who didn't know what the concept meant. And yeah. So it's like, oh, well, I'm interested. I'm very interested in knowing. Well, then I'm basically in love. And there's a lot of subtle layers psychologically with that. So that's kind of a thing.
Yeah.
But the point is, I don't know if they necessarily hit that well. But again, early 90s, this movie was released in 1994. At the time, if you remember back to the yesteryears, okay, mental issues of any kind were really regarded as like, that's a weird thing. Mental depression, hell, things like ADHD, mm-hmm. these kind of things, these fixations. Therapy was not really looked at with the best light. In fact, they kind of make a dig at therapy because Kathy Griffin, played by Kathy Griffin. She's what, like a talk show therapist?
She's like a Loveline kind of esque character where people call in with their issues and she gives them relationship advice. Or life advice rather.
Yeah. And at one point Pat comes in and starts answering calls and is just handling it with all of the subtlety of a Nazi stormtrooper.
Yeah.
And
like Pat, couldn't hit anything.
Wow. But no, Tim Meadows, awesome cameo, plays the producer and is like, no, this is actually getting ratings. This is a thing, you know, and it kind of diminishes what, like, the concept of, like, you know, actually talking about the problems as they are, you know, from a therapeutic standpoint. It kind of diminishes that. And it's like, in the early 90s, I think we all like to forget that a lot of this was like, no, you're weird. Keep that shit locked in.
Yeah. And that's also, I just had this thought about that Tim Meadows character in that kind of moment where he's, you know, this gets more ratings. People are calling in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the Pat character, you know, hearkening back to Kathy Griffin, at least she's trying to give some mm-hmm. legitimate advice. And as you said, you know, Pat just kind of blows everybody off and it's not good. You know, it's supposed to be a comedy element, obviously, but that kind of plays into, you have to be careful because the danger with media, some shows, and even like the news,
mm-hmm.
like sometimes they're going to do what they need to get ratings instead of maybe doing what's objectively the right thing.
Well, specifically what I was pointing was that, okay, so in 1994, the idea of actually understanding the complex like nature between obsession and infatuation was non-existent. Like, it was just, they were like, okay, no, we're going to play it off as a laugh. And it was never expected to give more explanation than that, and audiences didn't demand it. And so that's how stuff like this gets made. It's a good concept for 5 to 10 minutes. They decided to dedicate an hour and 17 minutes to this joke.
My goodness.
I will say this. Hold on to your hat. Less offensive than I expected.
I will say that. Like, even looking back to 1994 standards and judging them then and today, not nearly... This could have been a train wreck of several biological waste things together. But it wasn't
never,
as bad.
It was never gonna qualify for a GLAAD award. But...
No. But it would get a Razzie.
It would get a Razzie. But it wouldn't be something that would be, like, picketed.
No, I don't think this is... Now, okay. I think it's good to always, you know, not dump everything bad on something. Mm-hmm. I did like the kind of subtle use of when Pat and Chris first met each other, where they kind of fourth wall broke a little bit with the movie marquee sign. With the later on that same afternoon.
I did like that.
And then later that evening when they were up on the hill in the car together. Like, I thought that was actually kind of a clever moment that didn't depend on the androgynous part of this joke. And so, you know, that...
It's a stylistic choice that you liked.
Yes.
Okay.
And I also like the part where Chris is trying to pack his suitcase and he puts it, because he has a waterbed, and he tries to push it down.
I have that in my notes!
And it sinks down and comes back up, and he pushes it, sinks down, and comes back up. And then he tries to sit on it, and it just scoots out from under him.
Chris just slides to the floor. That's great.
Which, again, because it didn't depend on the joke that was good over a 5-minute segment, yeah. I think those kind of worked a little bit better than the other
It was
things.
This movie's fat guy in a little coat. It has nothing to do with anything. It's just a great moment that worked in the moment.
Yes.
Just this wonderful little... And, yeah, there's no dialogue, no nothing. Just... Okay, and here's something... Okay, so that was great. But then the movie did some other things that I found to be questionable. And how can I choose? You're probably thinking. So here it is.
This podcast might be an hour and 17 minutes. I'll figure all this stuff out.
Okay, so little things like... Where are my notes? Hang on. Okay, so the makeover scene, the first Ween show where Pat is playing the tuba, the scene where Pat is running through, like, all the different places to get to Chris, these are little jokes that could be funny if they were substantially shorter. But there is a difference between... Okay, this is going to sound terrible, but tell me you wouldn't laugh if you're watching some random thing, like a guy's walking down the road, and then another guy, as he's approaching, just punches him, and then goes away. You're kind of like, oh, that was a click. Just punches him, and then just keeps walking. You'd kind of be like, whoa, that is crazy. You kind of chuckle. What you wouldn't chuckle... is if that same guy comes up, punches the guy, and proceeds to punch him until his face is a bloody pulp. That's not funny.
No, it's not.
There's a difference between Jackass and a straight-up accident.
Yes.
And, whew, but that, you know, it's like the waterbed suitcase scene works because of that. But you have things like the makeover scene, which adds nothing. And it goes on for, like, 5 minutes at least, you know?
It was a... And all it was just another way to tell the joke.
Mm-hmm.
The androgynous joke. Because, you know, the hairstyles they go with is, like, the long, you know, 1950s...
The beehive.
Yeah. And then the beehive. And then they, you know, give them a shorter hair, like a buzz cut. And then bald. And then go right back to what Pat was. And
yeah.
It's just kind of like... Why was this here?
What is happening?
Yeah. What role did this play? Because it's important in a comedy. I think if jokes are going to be in a movie, they either need to be in their kind of own little silo, kind of like the suitcase thing. It's just a funny thing that's kind of going on, or it needs to further the plot somehow. Like, this funny situation needs to get us somewhere. And Pat literally went to get a makeover, walked out the same, and it did nothing.
Yeah.
And that's kind of why it felt like, why? You could have done anything else with that.
One joke in the beginning I didn't understand. I guess Pat's looking, trying to figure what Pat is going to do for a living. And he sees, well, maybe I guess I get it now. He sees... like, construction workers all dressed the same, and then police officers all dressed the same. And then for no reason, like, astronauts in, like, full moon landing gear walk past Pat.
Again, it's like, why is that there?
Well, so, I did a little research.
Okay, hit me.
Okay. Not a lot of IMDb facts on this one. Which, I know, shocking. The very first one is that the film did so badly that it was pulled from theaters after how many weeks? You want to guess?
Two.
One.
1 week. Oh,
it
my
took
gosh.
1 week, and they were, like, done with this. Okay, here's something you might know. What other film did Kathy Griffin and Julie Sweeney appear in?
Oh, Were they in Pulp Fiction again?
They were in Pulp Fiction!
That's what I thought.
They were in Pulp Fiction. And also, Kathy Griffin's friend did some uncredited work on the screenplay. And that friend was Quentin Tarantino.
On this.
On this.
You know what? Taking uncredited credit for this is the wisest career move that one
Ooh.
Could have done.
Ooh, that's really...
That actually surprises me. Now, if somebody in the middle of the movie had just gotten randomly chopped in half, would it make total sense?
Would it make total sense?
Had his thumbprint all over this.
some random inappropriate use of the N-word. It's like, reel it in, Q.
It's when Pat was looking for the diary.
Not okay. Oh my gosh. This was the second to last time we, as a society, ever saw Pat. Because Julie Sweeney was so disenchanted by the experience. She only ever played Pat once in this because it's some kind of, like, live thing where she promised to be, like, Pat was going to be the honorary mayor for the day somewhere. And she didn't like that. But the worst part... Oh my gosh, I want to make sure I get this correct. Yeah. Here's from IMDb. After the film was pulled due to the critically poor reception, an unfortunate coincidence, Julia Sweeney received news that her brother had been diagnosed with lymphoma. That is a rough... I don't know why that's in the IMDb facts, but it's just...
Probably because he got it from watching this movie.
Oh, no, that's awful. That's so... Oh, jeez. But, okay. So at the end of the day, here's the deal. The movie itself, I would probably not recommend.
I would actually probably go with Rotten Tomatoes on this one. What? 0%.
0% on the Rotten Tomatoes. 0%. That is...
I don't recall if that's the critic or the audience. I'm pretty sure it's the critic score. But, yeah.
I am bummed that didn't work out for Julia Sweeney. This is a character that she came up with. Great as an SNL sketch. I hate that it did bring so much negativity. Both in reception and just in general. Just, I mean, it... Yeah. Well, anyway.
And just... To kind of make sure that everybody understands, this is not a critique of Julia Sweeney, Kathy Griffin, any of the actors or actresses as people or as talents. I think it is this character does not work in a movie.
I'm going to say I don't particularly think blame as a negative connotation goes on really anybody involved with the film, and here's why. What a lot of people are quick to forget, again... 1994. This was a time there was so much cocaine, and it was just a fun time to laugh at ridiculousness. And you didn't have, I mean, internet was just becoming a thing, and so you didn't have a lot of people contributing a lot of different ideas. You had a lot of, like, the same kind of ideas in the same kind of, we'll call it, lake of inspiration. But overall, my point is that it was a product of its times.
Yes.
Product of its time. It was exactly what it needed to be for what it was supposed to be. But did it hold up? And did it stand the test of time? No.
No. No, it has not.
It didn't, no.
And the hilarious part of this was I wrote down two quotes from this movie, and... It was a conversation between Pat and Chris when they're talking about things that they have in common. And they actually say, quote, "I love good movies. So do we."
So do we.
And this wasn't one of them.
I love good movies, so you know why I'm upset then. Because of... Dang, that was rough.
Yeah, so would not recommend it. But it's also good to see things that you may not like, because it gives you a chance to talk and think, and also be, because I don't think we're not liking this because of one person, concept, idea, anything in particular. I think it was just what it was didn't work. And everybody out there should have the opportunity to make a masterpiece and something that just doesn't work. Because if you go out there and you don't try, you're never going to know where it falls. And this had to happen. And I think it's good that things like this happen, because you find out what doesn't work and it helps you find things that do.
That's actually really well said.
Yeah.
That's some lawyering.
Oh, yeah. I'm almost a 100% strict First Amendment advocate. I hate cancel culture. Like, anybody should have the opportunity to go out and try to be funny. Yeah. And try to be good. And if it doesn't work, it doesn't work. And being critical of it doesn't mean that you hate the person or they shouldn't be given another chance. So, Julia Sweeney, keep working and keep doing your thing.
Yeah, definitely. But yeah, so this was a very, very interesting experience altogether. We'll get that.
And it was my first time I've ever been on a podcast, so thank you very, very much for having me.
Cool, cool, cool. Well, you know, if Leah's career keeps taking off, so we might have you back in. We'll definitely see. But yeah, I think this has gone well so far. Good chance this part will be cut, but yeah. So, not the thanks, though. I'll keep all the adoration.
Thank you. Thank you.
Aubrey, you are wonderful in all that you do. And yeah, I should have said it like that. But anyway. Alright. But yeah, okay. So, lots of fun. So okay, one more thing. Bennett, can you think of any time, any rhyme or reason you would recommend this to a friend?
Yes, I 100% can. If you have an ex that you hate, send them a copy of this and say, this is the best thing ever, and you should watch it with your mother. That is what you should do with it. I would recommend it highly in that situation.
I'm going to make a little amendment to that. You should send it to your ex with a note that says, you should watch this, dot, dot, dot. You'll understand. And just leave it at that. And then you change your number and you just fade away. You just fade in the... What? And fade back. It's like, Bennett, I missed you again. I don't, why did you send this to my mother?
Hey, Wayne, where are we going?
Okay. All right. Well, okay, so next week, I believe Leah will be back, so I'm not 100% sure what we're going to be covering. So I'll probably edit a lot of this to change, or maybe I won't. I don't know. So we'll just have to see. But
follow them on all social media. Send them messages. Send them tweets. Send them emails. Give them stuff to do and recommend it to them. This podcast is awesome. Like, comment, subscribe, share.
Alright, so next week we'll be covering, I'm not sure what yet, but of course, like Bennett said, at recommended to us on Twitter, our email, please send us an email. We got a really interesting email about Supernatural, which we'll be getting to in October. We are looking for things that are Halloween and or horror themed coming up for the month of October, because we would like to get in the Halloween spirit. And please, I am begging you from the bottom of my heart, please don't confuse horror and gore. Those are two different things, similar to romance and pornography. Once again, our email is recommended_friend@outlook.com. And Leah tells me we have recently acquired an Instagram, and I don't know what that means, but Leah will get you the information. But anyway, so I think that pretty much covers it. We have been hanging out today, of course, our wonderful co-host, Bennett. It was great having you today.
And thank you so much for having me. It was an absolute blast.
And it was a blast because we watched It's Pat the Movie because it was recommended to me by a friend. Bye.
Later.